Motherhood is tough these days. It can feel even harder when you're doing it alone. Whether you are just beginning your journey of motherhood or pumping into the wee hours of the night, we are here for you to be a breastie. Join us as we share all things breastfeeding, the mom life, and the joys in between. Welcome to Cherish Nature's Gift, the podcast. So to kick off the first episode of the first season, we have with us Ms. Yvonne Wok, founder and CEO of Haggen, a leading baby brand in Singapore that created the world's first square feeding bottle and massaging breast pump. She's a mother of four who breastfed for a continuous period of 10 years. Today, her children are aged 10, 12, 14, and 16. Throughout all the highs and lows, she remains the biggest believer that breast milk is best for your baby. So welcome, Yvonne.
Hi, Estelle, and hello, everyone. And welcome to our first ever podcast. I'm so happy to finally have a platform to share my life lessons, but most importantly, champion breastfeeding, empower moms, and celebrate life. Part of the reason why we felt it's time to start a podcast is because now, more than ever, we all crave connection, identification, and support. This podcast is here to be that friend to champion you and facilitate your motherhood journey.
Yeah, and our next guest is also Jasmine Alamin, a mother of a three-year-old boy who had him when she was 40 after several failed pregnancies. She shares the good, the bad, and the ugly of being an older mom. So welcome, Jasmine.
Greetings, everyone. That's right. I'm a 44-year-old working mom to a very handsome and precocious son. I call him my rainbow baby and I love him to the moon and back. But honestly, I am so grateful that there's this thing called daycare. People keep asking if I'm up for a second baby. And honestly, I'm still recovering from the birth of the first. I think I might just enjoy this one for a little longer.
And finally, there's me, Estelle, a 26-year-old mom, and I'm still breastfeeding my 18-month-old daughter. And I keep asking myself, when should I stop? Can I even stop? Because I might actually be honest with myself and say that nursing her is quite addictive. So I don't know. We'll just keep going and see how it goes. So as you can see, we are three very different moms who became mothers at various stages in our lives. But we all share one thing in common, and that is we juggle mom life and work life all at the same time. We multitask and sometimes we fail at it, and it's okay because breasties don't judge and we merely just support one another. And so before we kick off this podcast, let's just begin by asking Yvonne the first question, and that is, when you were a first-time mom, what were some of the concerns you had going into this new journey where everything is just so uncertain, you know, you're not sure what's going to happen? How did you feel exactly? What were your concerns that you had?
When I became first-time mom, I was actually one of the very first among all my girlfriends to be pregnant. There were so many uncertainties, questions that are unanswered. Yeah, I think 16 years ago, there were not many platform or information centers or even Google that we can find some of these answers. So uncertainty was really, really, very stressful. I don't know how much it's going to hurt because I opt for natural. But then I end up having epidural and then had an emergency cesarean. I was very panicky and anxious. What's going to happen to my body? Is it going to affect my breast milk kicking in? And how long, like my cesarean scar, how long is going to take to recover my back? And breastfeeding, breastfeeding, breastfeeding. This word was like chanting in my head, right? I want to breastfeed, but how? The milk isn't here yet. It's second day and it's not coming yet. What should I do? Because doctors were saying that epidural or the painkiller is going to delay your milk coming in. So, is my baby going to be fed? Like, what should I do? Am I going to have milk? All this were very, very anxious for me. But beyond that, I mean, looking at how we cope as a first-time mom on the job learning, yeah, the bundle of joy, being a mom is the most fulfilling thing ever in life. Well, and then, yeah, I went on to become second-time mom, third-time mom, and fourth-time mom. But I realize every time, right, this set of questions continue and repeat. I am still doubting myself if I'm going to be a good enough mom. I'm still doubting if I'm going to have milk. I'm still worried how am I going to juggle coping with my older kids and the newborn. So life goes on.
And that's interesting because you would think the more kids you have, the more experienced you become, you know, and you kind of like get better at, I don't know, things like breastfeeding. But I mean, you were saying that you still were worried whether there was enough milk. So actually, in the end, did you have enough? I'm sure some of the moms are curious to know, like, actually, how was it when the second and third and the fourth kid came?
Yeah, I think milk quantity or whether enough or not is defined by your child. Every child has their different needs, and watching your child, not the clock, not the body, not the pump, not, you know, etc. It's all for your child. Mm. So define you are enough.
You are enough. Oh my goodness. Yes. That's very encouraging to hear from a mom of four, because Jasmine and I only have one. So we certainly are still reeling from our recent birth experience. Speaking of which, Jasmine, maybe you can share your own concerns as a first-time mom.
Actually, my concerns weren't so much about being a mom, because ever since I was a little girl, I've always wanted to be a mom. I always wanted to be a mom young. And then you realize that work gets in the way, you can't find the right man, and then you finally find the one, but you're already so old. I wasn't that old a mom, but we got married when I was 29, and we only really discussed about children when I was maybe in my mid-30s. And then when we started trying, it was very difficult. And I don't know why. Maybe waited too long, or maybe it's hereditary or genes or things like genetics, bad genes. One miscarriage, and then tried again and had a blighted ovum, which is like a uterus with an empty sac. So then after that, worried about trying again and failing again. So I gave up. And by the time I gave up, I got knocked up. Which is the irony of it all, right? I mean, God is really playing tricks with me. When I got pregnant for the third time, right, I kept it to myself. Like, I didn't want to share this wonderful news with anyone. And I tried to keep it secret until I was quite heavily pregnant. You know, I didn't tell my in-laws until I was 6 months, when my father-in-law invited me for a glass of wine. So I'm like, sorry, Dad, I can't because I'm pregnant. So then everybody screamed because, you know, they were just so overjoyed that I was finally pregnant and stayed pregnant, you know. So I think the concern for me was really conceiving, staying pregnant, and also the recovery. Because by the time I was pregnant, I was 40. As a 40-year-old, everything slows down, you know, the recovery slows down. And breast milk, that's a huge concern for me because my body isn't young anymore. I wasn't sure whether I could produce enough breast milk. Mm-hmm. So for me, the milk only kicked in maybe when I was about 6 weeks. That's more than a month. So there was this 1 month of a lot of anxiety, stress, crying, depressions, just beating myself up that I couldn't nourish my child as much as other women could. Yeah. But, you know, I think once I let my guard down and I felt a little bit happier, the milk just flooded in. So by 6 weeks, the whole freezer was filled with milk.
Wow.
So then I didn't, all my concerns were just like thrown out the door. And after that, I felt like my body was getting back to normal as well. So I think it was just a longer recovery process than most mothers because of my age.
Yeah.
And also the sex life, I mean.
What sex life?
Yeah. Does it exist?
I don't know about you, but I just wasn't in the mood. Is that like hormones telling you, no, you're breastfeeding, don't have another kid?
Yeah, I think there's a scientific reason behind it, right? It's kind of like nature's way of protecting or reserving that energy of mommy to be nursing and keeping the child alive, you know, and maybe not be making another one at this time. Because I had a vaginal birth, and certainly like sex was not on the radar for a long time. My child just came out of here, like, you know, nothing is gonna be happening around this region. So suddenly, like, breast milk, sex life, I mean, these are really such real concerns that I think whether you're first time mom, second time, fourth time mom, it comes to you naturally. And I mean, because it's part and parcel of like motherhood, right? And I mean, let's just talk a little bit about, beyond these concerns, what were some of the feelings that maybe we had when we were thinking about the breastfeeding and the sex life? How do we feel at these points when we were worried? Like maybe Yvonne, when she mentioned that you were worried that there wasn't enough breast milk, what were you perhaps feeling at that point in time, you know? Maybe you can share with us because you have so much experience in this area.
Yeah. As a mommy, right, you really want to make sure your baby thrives. Without seeing the milk kicking in, that kind of emptiness or mom's guilt was very painful.
Yeah.
And then around me, there were a lot of good intent relatives that were encouraging me to give up. And don't be so hard on yourself. There are alternatives out there. There are compliments out there. But that wasn't what I wanted. I wanted to pursue breastfeeding because I thought that's the best thing that could happen for me and my child. And thank goodness, my late grandmother, she breastfed her 10 kids. She has 10. Yeah. She kept encouraging me that don't be so hard on yourself. It will come. It takes time. So be kind to yourself. Say nice words to yourself. Rest, rest, rest. And that were some tips that helped me along the way. And whenever I feel down or I felt like giving up, I would turn to her and ask her for her advice. So support system around us is very important. And then I have a very, very supportive husband. Leon, he is an absolute breastfeeding supporter. So after waking up from the cesarean, first thing he told me is, "Babe," sorry, he calls me B actually. So B, we got to go to the pump station to pump. I'm like, what pump station? I went to find out. I discovered there's this pump in the hospital that you can use to kickstart your breastfeeding journey. I'm like, oh man, I hardly wake up. Okay. And he supported, encouraged, motivated, pushed me, even rented the pump to come to the bedside. So he did everything he could.
If he could do it himself, he would.
I believe so.
Gotta love his commitment, y'all. I mean, yeah. He really did everything, like yes. All the research for you.
And then in-laws, parents, I'm very grateful. Although we may have very different school of thoughts about how to raise the children, their grandchildren. I think having the older generation's support, advice, and I think physically there for us is precious, and I'm grateful for them. Then comes to colleagues. When I returned to work, they were my cheerleader from buying me snacks, realizing that I had to excuse myself from the meeting rooms just to pump and catching me up on all the minutes was going on, etc. I think those were very, very precious. And I think the village around us, very important. And I have to mention that we must not forget our older kids. They are very important and often, right, going through this lonely journey alongside the breastfeeding mama. So I think they are also the source of energy that we can look forward to. So when you guys going to have your second one, make sure.
We wish you could see our faces now.
Don't neglect number one.
Which
involve
one?
Them,
which one?
Involve them in your breastfeeding journey from, you know, even preparing a pump bag to helping to change up the younger baby to even allow them to feed with a bottle, in your arms, you know, so that they feel like, oh, I'm also doing a little bit of breastfeeding. Sort of activities, right?
Like including them.
Yeah, making sure that sometimes they want your attention. They will do little things like they go and smack the dirty diaper and let it spill all over the floor and you have to clean up.
Sounds very scary.
Or, you know, the baby is soundly asleep. You will like tiptoe and put the baby back into the cot. Next thing they, bang, like, or hit the baby's leg and wake up, titi. I want to play. Things like that. Don't scold them and understand that they actually just want to be involved.
Very, they're probably also adjusting to the change at the, you know, attention that they're going to be getting at home and the difference in the environment. And I just wanted to pick up on what you mentioned earlier about the mom guilt, you know. I mean, the three of us are working moms. We have kids to see to, you know. And then there's also this village that you spoke about, the older generation, our spouses, our older kids. I mean, who knew that older kids could form the village, right? But like what you just mentioned, they can actually be a very key part of this village that actually supports us as moms. And I think that's something that we want to look forward to in this season of our podcast. We really want to talk about how can we actually assemble this village? How do we have these conversations with the people that play a very critical part of our lives. And also as working moms, as moms in general, like, how do we battle this guilt? Like this sense that we're always not doing good enough when maybe actually we are. But sometimes we need that little encouragement to sort of take a step back and go, yeah, what I'm doing is good enough. And so before we end, we wanted to also encourage you to be a part of this conversation. So we do have a Hagen Moms community, and that is where all the mothers sort of congregate and support one another. And so if you're not on the Telegram group, we would like to invite you to it. So you can just go onto Telegram, type the words Hagen Official, and you will be able to see that there is a Hagen Moms discussion board whereby you can join us, share, and let us know how you feel about what we have also shared. I'm sure you have your own stories, battle stories to share, and in the weeks to come, let's keep the conversation going. And so subscribe and share this podcast if you know of other mom friends that can benefit from this podcast. And we would love to continue chatting with you and journeying with you through your motherhood journey. And so we'll see you in the next episode of Cherish Nature's Give, the podcast.